I found myself watching a bunch of 14-year-old girls' videos on YouTube.
That's going to get you on a couple lists.
I wish I had a Twitter account.
Like my state of undress, this podcast is subject to change. I'm your host, Keith, and joining me for this verbal potluck in which everyone brings a different subject to the table is one of my best friends. Let's meet him. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, Keith. I'm glad to hear that I'm not just your brother, but also a friend.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of lie. I just call everyone a best friend because whatever, but you're a brother.
I feel far less good now.
You should.
Far less good.
So you sound like shit, Ryan. Why is that?
I'm currently in my car for this impromptu interview. I was not prepared. I didn't, you know, brush my hair. I didn't do anything that you'd usually do to have your voice recorded.
Yeah, let's pull the curtain back. I try to release a podcast every Friday. It's Thursday night and I got nothing. So I hit Ryan up. He's in the car and he said he would be good for like, you know, 25 minutes or whatever. Ryan, I don't know if you've listened to this podcast before, but basically each of us brings a different subject to the table. And
I have listened.
I'm interested to know what subject you brought to the table.
I'd like to have a discussion about how overpriced jewelry is and how that has led me to teach myself to make jewelry. Because my girlfriend loves jewelry. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this. Have you ever cringed? Hey, Keith, we can talk about anything.
No,
Let's be honest, that's great.
The reason why
this is the topic is because this is what I'm in the car for.
You're going for jewelry.
I'm going to a bead store.
A bead
store.
It is
my girlfriend's birthday tomorrow.
And she wants beads.
No, like a bead store. So here's the thing. I thought that a bead store would have been beads, but it turns out it's kind of everything you need to make jewelry. And beads is one of the things, but maybe they just thought it'd be stupid to call it the everything you need to make jewelry store.
Yeah, but when you say beads, you're risking people thinking it's bees. And then unless you're like Joe Bluth, you're not going to that store. It actually is fascinating that a grown man makes jewelry. And I want to go through how you got to this point where you're going to buy beads as a 30-year-old man.
Yeah, so my girlfriend Ashley really likes jewelry.
Okay.
And we were on this road trip together, and we kept going into these jewelry stores. And I'd see all these things, and they would be like $100, $120, $160 for like the lowest level jewelry. And it looked like, to be honest, it looked pretty, but it just looked like something I could make. And it kept bothering me that we'd be looking, and keep in mind, I bought her one thing that I couldn't make. So that was like sort of, for me, I'm only going to buy something I can't make. It's kind of like I don't want to go out to dinner and eat something that I could cook better. You know what I mean? But when it comes to jewelry, you can't really just say, I bet I can make this. You kind of have to prove that you could. So the gist of what I did was I just Google searched and found myself watching a bunch of 14-year-old girls' videos on YouTube where they just describe how to make things, everything from earrings to rings, to bracelets, to specific styles of, necklaces.
You got to be careful there. That's going to get you on a couple lists.
I'm sure I am. I've thought about being on those lists before when I was like writing movies. So I used to write movies, and I like action movies. And so you find yourself Googling, like, how to build a bomb. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you'd understand how to write that scene in the movie. And then you realize what you just Googled. And that there's no way for you to put, like, an addendum to the Google search that says, I looked this up because I'm an author. Especially when you're not actually an author yet because no one's paid you. Anyway. Yeah.
That reminds me, Ryan, quick aside, that reminds me of a Reddit post about how Google's combating people searching to join ISIS. And I'm like, this could be completely false information because I'm never, ever confirming it, ever.
Yeah, there's a lot that algorithms can do, but discern that the person actually was seriously writing the thing they wrote is not really a thing it can do.
Yeah, so to be safe, don't search of anything.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to the jewelry, though, Keith, it wasn't... In general, I don't just want to talk about jewelry. What I want to talk about is just stuff that's overpriced.
All right.
That's the impetus here, right? So it's like... The reason why I went into a bead store and watched all these videos online was because there was this thing, this, let's call it an asset, right? There was this asset that my girlfriend liked, and as a good boyfriend, like, you want to provide, but then you look at what the market is charging for it, and it's ridiculous. So the question becomes, what else, Keith, do you know of that's as ludicrously priced as jewelry, so much so that it would drive you, and I know you're the king of deals, you know, to do something stupid like learn to make jewelry?
Well, so the problem here, right, is that typically when things are overpriced, you're paying for convenience. And an example of that is that Danielle, you know those... You know, like Blue Apron, all the services that send you food in a box.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you don't have to go shopping and everything's perfectly portioned, but they're super overpriced. Well, yep. Danielle did that, you know, like a month ago when Nora was, you know, still young. It was tough for us to make dinner. She found a coupon. And even still, I felt it was overpriced, even at 50% off. Well, I come to find that Danielle hadn't canceled it this month, so we got the same thing this month, and it cost twice as much. And I'm just furious, not at her, just at the situation. And I'm like, we could have easily made this chicken dish for a quarter of the cost, and we essentially paid 400% of what it should cost just so we didn't have to go to the grocery store. Things like jewelry, you know, if they're really that easy to make, they don't need that much skill. Owning a house, it's really hard to decide what I should do myself and what I should pay for, because I want it done right the first time because I'm a perfectionist. I have no discernible skills on it. So some things I want to do myself, like I really need recessed lighting in my basement, and I'm debating if I should do that myself or not. And the lights themselves are $100, but if I made someone else come in and do it, it's going to cost me like, you know, $1,000 or something. So that's a long way of saying that, recessed lighting is an example of something that's to get installed is way too expensive. So I'm thinking about fucking up my house and doing it myself.
Yeah. I think that there's a really, what you just said, fucking up your house, is really the line to walk, right?
Yeah.
So there's no... If I make shitty jewelry, there's really no downside, right? Besides the cost of the jewelry.
No, I mean...
But I'm not going to, let's say, perform medicine, right?
No,
there are certain things where the expertise is not only difficult to achieve, but the possible failure is really significant.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, crafts is a good example of this, though. Like, I look on Etsy all the time, and I just love all like their retro gaming merchandise and stuff. And like recently I came across a lot of like Shadowbox art projects related to
you
like
show me you're going to build one of them.
Retro
like the
gaming
3D diorama. Yeah.
So what, yeah, what that is, I mean, they just print off screenshots and then they cut them out and then they just, you know, paste them to these shadow boxes. And it's not hard in theory. It just takes a lot of patience to cut out each individual pixel. And like, say in materials, it costs me $20 or I can buy it on Etsy for $60 and it'll be better. There is always that to keep in consideration as well. Like, will my quality be good enough for it to stand in for the original? And do I have the time or do I want to spend the time doing it? So like, if you didn't enjoy making jewelry to some degree, you wouldn't continue to do it. Am I wrong there?
So yeah, this gets to the next thing, which is satisfaction, right?
Yeah.
So even if buying the supplies, let's say jewelry, right? What I'm talking about.
Okay.
So with jewelry, maybe the parts are $16, right?
Yes.
And the cost fully built is $120. The thing about it is, if I'm being honest, I'm probably spending more time. Like if I put value to my time, that it's worth if I were spending that time making money, which is a big question mark. However, when I'm done, I feel awesome, right? And I imagine when you're done, especially with house stuff, there's this satisfaction. You know, you make a meal without all the little blue apron boxes and you can look at it and be like, I made that. Like I cut this up. I, you know, put this all together. You know, when I make the jewelry, there's satisfaction. If she's wearing it, I feel really good about myself. And I really wouldn't feel that good if she was wearing jewelry someone else bought, because it's more or less just money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a thing. Yeah, it has thought, but it's just more or less a thing I exchange cash for and nothing else. No, like, blood, sweat, and tears. Not that building jewelry is that involved.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying.
But you're like, I did that, and you think it's good enough to wear around your neck. I mean, you know, for lack of a better way of describing it. I don't know, Ryan. I feel like everyone has their own way of measuring the value of something, what their money's worth, what their time's worth. So, like, even though you might be paid a certain amount at your job, you can't necessarily assume that if you wanted to, you could be paid, you know, three times that amount if you worked 24 hours a day. You know, you got to think in terms of, what would I be doing instead of this? Is there an opportunity for me to make money? Or is it really just, I'm going to be on the internet and I'm going to, if anything, spend money? I'm certainly not going to make money. So I don't know. It's a tough question. I'm glad you found making jewelry. It seems like, if anything, it's a little bit relaxing. It's rewarding. I don't really have anything like that in my life right now. I obviously put, you know, my creative forces towards this podcast, but that's kind of it. But I don't know. This topic's been all over the place. I don't really know how to talk about making jewelry, Ryan. Any final thoughts on jewelry?
I tried to call an audible.
I hear you. And I mean, you're driving, so you can't focus entirely on it. I'm not that artistic, so I don't really have anything I make, you know?
Well, the interesting thing here is that it's not really coming from a place of being artistic. That's why I thought you would actually associate with it, because it's coming from a place of being stingy.
Okay.
If I'm really honest and critical of myself.
Okay, here's a great example. I just thought of one where it was motivated by the same things that motivated you to make jewelry. I have a ever-growing retro game collection. You know, Super Nintendo cartridges, Nintendo 64 cartridges, and I'm also someone who likes to store my media and display it on shelves. Well, I needed to figure out what I was going to do with these cartridges without cases. Well, I found that there are really cool retro gaming cases that hold a very, you know, all kinds of different cartridges. And then I found that you can buy individual ones with cover art for specific games for like $6 a pop. Or I could buy a box of 100 cases that didn't have cover art. I could buy a printer. I could buy paper. I could buy, you know, a little tiny X-Acto knife. And I could buy a ruler. And I could spend 50 hours outfitting my entire retro gaming collection. And I could save $200, you know? So if you look at... If you look at that, takes me 50 hours, I save $200. I'm essentially saying my time's worth $4 an hour. And we all know that that's not even minimum wage.
Keith, you're breaking the law in order to service your own obsession with your gaming collection.
Yeah, I know. Well, in reality, I didn't pay myself anything. So I'm, it's even worse. But, Ryan, I get your point. I think there are examples in everyone's lives where they're like, fuck this. I'm not paying that much for something. I'm going to do it myself. And then you end up investing all kinds of time when you might have been better off just paying upfront for it.
Yeah, it's probably true. As I sit here in the beach store parking lot pondering the choices I've made in life.
Well, if you're in the parking lot, I think it's time to change the subject. We'll do about 10 minutes on my subject, which is, what's your biggest flaw, both from your own eyes and the way you think others view you? You don't have to go too in detail, but I'm just curious.
Man, this is heavy. This is about 1,000 times heavier than discussing jewelry.
I like to do that. I like to juxtapose silly topics with, you know, deeper topics. And if you want some time to think about it, I can go first. It's totally up to you.
Yeah, give me a minute. Give me a minute, and I want to hear yours.
Okay, so I think from the eyes of other people, the best way to describe my biggest flaw is that I'm overzealous. In times that shows itself as me being pushy or me being like myopic. But anytime I have something in my mind, like that I want to do, I just like, that's all I talk about. I don't really listen to other people, like what, you know, they want to talk about. And I'm just like, oh, let's podcast today. Oh, you know what would be a good subject for podcasting? This. Oh, you're having issues at home. I don't really care. When are you coming over to podcast? And things like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's tough. And I think that's from other people's eyes because that's kind of how I interact with them. Like, I don't always, I think in general, I'm good at reading social cues, but because can be so obsessive, I can kind of cloud my judgment and then I just keep pushing something I want to do. Like, oh, you want to, we're going to do a Halo tournament next week. You're going to be there, right? Oh, can you bring an Xbox? Blah, 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 you know? So at times, friends might feel, and family might feel used, but I don't mean it that way. But I feel like that could really come off negatively. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that... So should I state my opinion on your opinion of what people think of you?
Whatever you want to do, Ryan.
How do you want to?
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
I think that's accurate. I think what you just described, I love it about you because it's you being obsessive, and I tend to myself have, I think you have more of it than me, but I have it as well. And so I know that we can both sort of, we commiserate in our own obsessions, I think, sometimes.
Oh, definitely.
Because we know that the other one will hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the other one will understand it.
Yeah.
So
Ryan?
Yeah, what's up?
Keep going. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, that was all I was going to say. Is it for me, I like that about you, but I can totally understand that maybe sometimes for people it could be difficult.
Yeah,
if you're trying to like schedule stuff like that.
Yeah, and in my obsession, I can often not be willing to listen to like the other side of the discussion. You know, like if my obsession is Beyonce's horrible and other people want to talk about how she's not that bad, it might become like a one-sided discussion where I'm not really listening to the other side of it. But it's all, I think, comes from, you know, kind of my general overzealousness when things have clouded my judgment. But my biggest flaw for sure is my lack of confidence in my own skills, like particularly when it comes to things like public speaking or just general day-to-day work where like I need to trust myself that I know what I'm talking about. So when I'm in like a meeting and people ask me a question, my answer isn't, you know, I think it's this, but I need to go check on it. My answer is it's this, 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 and this. And we should talk about this now because, you know, I've answered your other question, et cetera. And in other, it just all decisions I make sometimes are impacted by the fact that I'm just so acutely aware of how I'm coming off, you know, if that makes any sense. It's all just word dribble at this point.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And to be honest, Keith, that's probably what I would say your biggest weakness is, you know, but I'm your brother. So that may make more sense than the average person that meets you.
Yeah, I just mean,
or knows you.
Yeah, I mean, on my first thing, it was just like how I come off to like most people, not people that know me as well as you do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ryan.
I think that mine is, I'm having trouble deciding whether or not I think that there's difference, actually. So I think that my biggest flaw perceived by others is that I talk so much that people perceive I don't listen. And I say that because I think that's the part of me that sort of, I don't want to say got me in the most trouble, but definitely caused the most negative energy from other people towards me.
Yeah.
I think that it's very connected though to what I believe my real biggest flaw is, which is that I'm often so dedicated to sort of getting to, actually it's not that related. So me talking a lot is, first of all, I learned through verbal communication. So I learned from hearing, I learned from listening, I learned from speaking. And I love to learn. So just, I'm always talking.
So your biggest, Ryan, your biggest weakness is that you love to learn.
No, the perception of what the outcome is there, which is that I learn through speaking, so I speak a lot. And when you speak a lot, it can be perceived that you want to hear yourself speak,
yeah,
versus listen to other people. And the truth of it is that I'm speaking in hopes of starting conversation and in hopes of learning, but that's often perceived differently. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think people talk a lot for different reasons. It's more often than not about them liking hearing their own voices. I find that people that are nervous in certain social situations, they either shut down completely or they talk way too much. So anytime someone talks a lot, I like to withhold judgment. And perhaps that's because, you know, we've been brothers. But yeah, and it's totally, I think you're right in that sometimes people see you talking a lot, and part of it is just you might be around people who don't talk very much at all, and you're like, oh, why aren't we talking? Let's start a conversation. All right, I'm going to tell you about this because you're not talking. Let me ask you about yourself. Oh, you don't want to talk? how about this, you know? And then you sometimes you find people that are super engaged with that, like, for instance, Uncle Tom, who I think is very similar to you and always wanting to be learning. And then you guys kind of have really strong conversations. But, you know, maybe other relatives aren't really as accepting of the way you want to talk. And then they're just like, take it completely the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that the real flaw, right? I agree with everything you just said. I think that my real flaw is sometimes I'm so dedicated to what I perceive to be like the best path to a solution that I totally disregard everyone around me.
Mm-hmm.
So I this happens a lot for me in work, right? Where the goal will be to, I don't know, we're trying to achieve X milestone. I all of a sudden don't care about anyone's emotions around anything. And I'm just like, we're going to go here. We're working towards this. And it's it gets stuff done from my perspective, which of course, from my perspective, I think it's a great thing, which is what happens sometimes with flaws. But, I alienate people. So I actually had an employee earlier this year who I had to kind of unlearn my perspectives with sort of being fully dedicated to just achieving stuff because it would just constantly hurt his feelings. And the reality is if you're going about achieving group projects in a method that hurts other members of the group's feelings, whether or not you think that their feelings being hurt is valid, doesn't matter, you're fucking up.
Yeah.
And that's something I've been working on quite a lot, actually, in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, how to see from other people's perspectives.
Yeah, I think that is a huge life skill. Like, I think overall, I'm pretty good at just kind of being empathetic and putting myself in other people's shoes. But because I do that so often with, like, people that I'm not around very often, it becomes easy for me to be like, well, I'm around people I, you know, like/love. I don't have to do that anymore. Cause it's pretty exhausting, to be honest, you know, like you know, so it's certainly, you need a middle ground. And if everyone had a middle ground, it wouldn't be an issue, but because everyone's different, you kind of have to learn everyone's personality.
For sure. Yeah, I didn't expect this to be so deep. Now I'm thinking about all these things that could be issues, could not be issues.
Yeah,
I tend to be pretty reflective of this stuff, though, Keith. I'm also pretty critical. I know you're critical as well. We share that. I think that's a family trait, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we can also get lost in the moment and lose sight of that. But, you know, worst case, we'll think about it later and kind of reevaluate. But you're right. I mean, there's lots to think of here. I don't necessarily want to do it on the podcast. You know, maybe we'll have a follow-up subject down the line. But I promised a quick episode, and I think that is going to be it. All right, this is where I typically end the podcast. But after I finished recording with Ryan, Danielle came down into the studio and told me that she had a subject she wanted to discuss, and since she's my wife, I can't say no. So without further ado, here is the third subject for the week. Danielle, what subject did you bring to the table?
Trends.
Yes.
Today I wish I had a Twitter account because I just wanted to tweet.
Just to be clear, you could have made a Twitter account.
Just to do this one
just
tweet.
Just to tweet. It's probably not, you know, no one's ever been like successful in Twitter by doing one tweet and being like, I'm out.
And also I have trouble condensing my words to like 100 character limits.
Okay, so tweeting is a trend in and of itself.
That's true.
Okay. What trend did you want to tweet about?
So I'm just upset that, all right, I guess we'll backtrack. So I read this thing on Instagram today. People are now shaming people who like pumpkin spice. Okay. So I always liked the flavor pumpkin, but I wasn't I mean, I wasn't like putting it out there all the time. Like I wasn't showing a pumpkin spice latte. Like I don't even go to Starbucks. I don't drink coffee. I like pumpkin, but it became such a trend. Like it was just like you had to have your pumpkin spice lattes and everybody took pictures of it and like their pumpkin beers and all this stuff. And so it was so trendy for a few years. Now there's all these haters out there who are saying, like, enough with the talking about pumpkin. And, like, I wish it hadn't become a trend because now I feel like an idiot for liking it in the first place.
No one's even talking about pumpkin at this point. That's just like a straw man argument where they're like, I'm sick of everyone talking about pumpkin even though no one's talking about it.
Yeah, it's
everywhere, so it's a thing, and people just need to kind of drop it.
Yeah, like, I just want to like what I like and not have to worry about whether it's cool or not cool.
Well, you know?
It must be exhausting to have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about being cool or not cool.
No. No, and I don't. I mean, I am not a cool person. But it must be exhausting to have to worry about liking something and then decide to not like it a couple years later when it becomes not cool to like it anymore.
It's so funny when you say that, like, who decides what is cool and isn't cool? I was listening to the 99% Invisible podcast the other day, and they were going over, like, how fashion trends are sort of established.
Yep.
They talked to two companies that were supposedly predicting fashion trends. But then you find out that, like, literally every fashion company sort of, well, every clothes company, not necessarily like super fashion company, kind of listens to what their predictions, and they predict 2 years out. So they're like, oh, in 2 years, these type of jeans are going to be popular. And it's like, all right, well, you're not predicting, you're just dictating trends. And then all the girls are after, like, well, these jeans are out of style. I need to go buy new jeans.
Yeah, I think that's the part that bothers me about the most, is because there's so much effort put into making people like this certain thing. And then those same people will shame the people for liking them 2 years later. You know, those same people that decide like joggers are cool now will be like, oh, joggers are terrible like 2 years later.
Well, people want to be part of exclusive clubs.
Yeah.
So then, you know, when everyone likes pumpkin spice, then it's, they have to say it's not anymore. Cool anymore. Now I need to buck the trend and not like pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
When pumpkin spice is not worth anyone's time discussing.
No, I never liked not it even ours. To be cool. Just That's kidding. True.
Any other trends that really grind your gears?
I mean, I bought into one recently. So that's the trouble. Sometimes I buy into these things and then I feel like an idiot for doing that.
Such as?
I bought Kylie Jenner's lipstick recently.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Because I saw a bunch of like reviews on it online. And they had like, they were selling out and they had free shipping one day. So I totally bought into that exclusive thing. Like, oh, these are limited. There's only a limited number of these lipsticks, so I need to get one. I know. I'm sorry.
If you ever buy anything from a Kardashian again, I'm going to seriously consider divorcing you.
We've had a lot of like breakup threats on this podcast. Lucia's like, threatening Stevie.
It makes me really concerned for Nora's well-being that her mom thinks that anything sponsored by the Kardashians is worth your time and money.
I know.
Like, what did you think it was going to happen?
I know.
Do you know?
I don't. Well, I wasn't ever planning on telling you, but I just revealed it on this podcast as an example of a trend I recently bought into, but now am shaming myself for doing so.
Danielle, I'm very ashamed of you.
What about trends for you? Do you have any trends that you've been suckered into?
I don't really. So it's tough because, like, in reality, a lot of TV shows are trendy, but I think oftentimes trendy TV shows are based on merit because, like, you know, there aren't really shows that are cool to watch unless they're actually good, other than things like, at least the ones I watch, like dramas, yeah, other than maybe The Walking Dead. Like, I think that's supremely overrated. But I like to be part of the discussion, and you can't really be part of the discussion about a TV show unless you watch it.
It's true.
But I think, yeah, that's about as trendy as I get.
What about like Pokemon Go, like games like that?
So again, games, I think, I can't really discuss them if I'm not experiencing them.
Yeah.
You know, and since I have, you know, a gaming podcast, yeah, I like to do that, and it's addictive too. So like a game that's addictive, like the trend gets you to look at it, and once you become addicted, it doesn't really matter if it's trendy or not.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, like things like entertainment is where I kind of get sucked into the trend thing, but like I'm not being told what to like as much as I'm waiting for a bunch of people to try something out and then be like, all right, well, if they like it, then I'll like it too.
Well, I think that can be spread to other things as well, because when you hear a lot of people liking something, you want to try it out too. I guess the problem is just all the shaming that happens once everybody likes it and then people want to be exclusive. It's like the trendy thing is to go against the grain. And, you know, like I used to have that too when I was younger. Like I wanted to act like I listened to this music before other people listened to it. And like for some reason we have this thing where we want to experience all the things other people do. But then once it gets too big, then we don't want to, because we want to be cool and ahead of the curve or something.
Yeah. I mean, I remember in high school, literally, someone was talking about all the underground music they listened to, like naming bands and songs. And then they're like naming all these bands. And then one of them I had heard of and like mentioned a song. And then she immediately said, "Oh, they're not that good."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like immediately. Like,
exactly.
So yeah, I think it is, people want to be trendy, but they also want to be the people who discover things.
Yeah.
And they want to be part of the exclusive clubs I mentioned.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But it must be exhausting being that person. Like I grew out of that, like, you know, in high school you want to be that, but it must be exhausting being that person to have to keep up with all of this, because it would just eat up so much of your time.
It really would. I mean, that's why it's so hard being a teenager, and why I'm glad that I'm a parent now.
Yeah.
And we don't really
now
need
we're
to,
not cool
yeah,
at all.
We're not cool. I never was cool.
Me neither.
But whatever. At least we have a podcast to talk about stuff.
It's true.
But Danielle, I think that might be... How are you feeling about that subject? Are you good with it? You have anything else to say?
No, I think I'm good. I've gotten out what I wanted to...
You got it off your chest that you don't think trends are the best things in the world.
And I just think we should stop shaming people and let people like what they like. That's it. That's really it.
I literally shame people on Game Time Show Bro every week.
I know, and you need to work on that. That should have been
Shaming is an important part of our culture.
That's
maybe not overt shaming, but how there's no way for us to get better if we're not ashamed of things that are bad about
ourselves.
Well,
your shaming's different. It's more direct and less like passive aggressive.
Like, I'm ashamed of how much I like sweets.
Mm-hmm. I know. I just ate some of your ice cream, and I'm not supposed to eat ice cream.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
I was supposed to get that at the end of this podcast.
Well, there's still more. I didn't eat it all.
I'm sure you ate most of it.
No, I didn't.
All right, Danielle.
Sorry.
You feel good about yourself?
I'm divulging. Yeah.
You do? Okay. All right. Well, now for real this time, we're out of topics. We're out of time. Goodbye.